Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Religion Means Alive with your host, Rashad Sunni El-Amin. I'm your holistic educator. I'm a naturopathic doctor. And we're here at this time every Thursday, 6 o'clock to 7:30. We thank the Creator for allowing us this time. And I thank Imam Alfred Muhammad, who is generous enough to let me hold this spot every Thursday so I can help the community and get educated on health, and that you may get information, valuable information, that will help you, especially if you're suffering from any of the conditions that we may talk about. I always ask everyone who's listening to get your pen, your pad, your pencil, so that we may take notes. So these notes may help you, may help a family member or a friend or a co-worker, whomever. So take notes, brothers and sisters. It's very important. Today's subject, I mentioned last week, and I didn't get to it. We covered a couple topics last week, but I did want to speak about the gallbladder problems. That's our main topic, and I'll probably touch on a few other topics after that. But I always try to give you tidbits of information before we even get into the main topic. And, you know, health information is very valuable, especially in this day and time when there's so much going on with our foods and with the environment and how they're poisoning our environment, poisoning our food and all this, and a lot of us, we don't seem to take heed to what's going on. A lot of us are ignorant of what's going on, and we must be informed so that we know what we're putting in our bodies, because it's our body, and we want to make sure we put the proper fuel in our body and the best fuel possible. A lot of us, you know, we don't care what we put in our systems as long as we can just have something in there. But we should consider putting the best fuel possible in our bodies. Now, I do want to share something. I was reading an article in the Muslim Journal, as a matter of fact, and this sister wrote a very good article, and she was talking about halal meats, you know, halal meaning it's permissible to eat. And we know a lot of stuff that we think is halal. Now, this is a Muslim term for you, all you who may be listening and not Muslim. But, you know, the Jews have kosher and Muslims have halal. But this is for all of us to be informed about, regardless of your belief or whatever, you understand? Because when I speak on this phone, I'm speaking to everybody. I'm not speaking just to Muslims. But sometimes I have to touch on certain points for Muslims who think that, you know, everything they're eating is halal, when in fact all of it is not halal, okay? And we know there's so many things going on with the meats in this day and time, and we must be aware of what they're doing to the animals, especially the ones who are supposed to be slaughtered halal, you understand. So let's look at some of these points. And, you know, the Prophet Muhammad taught us to eat pure, you know, eat the best, you know, and not to eat something that's haram, you know, which is not permissible. And we always want to put the best in our system. And there's some tidbits I want to share with you. And okay, now we can state about halal not only refers to slaughtering, and there's no slaughtering in egg production. So they say eggs are halal. That's what some scholars say, that eggs are halal. In the first place, halal is not just about slaughtering animals. You see, animals must be raised in a humane and natural way to be considered halal, you understand? And factory farm raised chickens do not experience a humane and natural lifestyle. Now, any of you that especially live down south, been to these chicken farms, you understand, these conventional chicken, I call them chicken factories, and seen how they treat these chickens, these hens, you understand, and how they're confined in these cages 24/7, stressed out, you know, you got to consider that when it comes to halal. You know, is the eggs that you're getting from these animals halal? Now, listen, like I was saying, animals have to be raised in a humane way and have a natural lifestyle. Now, eggs from factory farms begin with haram slaughtering. Haram. Haram is not permissible. Hatcheries specialized in egg-laying hens figure the sex of chicks within 2 or 3 days after hatching. The chicks travel on a conveyor belt as people determine the sex of each chick. And every male chick is thrown alive into a meat grinder. If it's lucky otherwise, it is thrown into a trash bag that is stomped down to make room for more chicks that eventually suffocate or crushed to death. This is what they do at these farms. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I've seen the DVDs. They filmed this. They showed the inhumane way they treat these chicks. Okay? Grind them up alive or put them in a bag and suffocate them and stomp on them. That's not even humane. You know? Would you like them to do that to your dog or your cat? You see? Just because there's a chick, it's still a live being, you understand? So unless you specifically buy eggs from cage-free hens or for organic farms, okay, which I do, you know, factory farm hens are stuffed into tiny cages where they spend their entire lives with no joy of living. You see? Chickens aren't supposed to be stuffed in a cage all day 24/7. You know, they should be able to run around. Okay? So if you're buying eggs from these kind of chickens or laying hens from these farm factories, it's not really halal because of the inhumane treatment. You know, when egg production is low, chickens are starved to promote forced molting, which generates increased egg laying. And when chickens are sick or old, they are either thrown alive into a meat grinder or buried alive in a mass grave. Now, tell me that's not inhumane. You see? And you know, you got to feel for these animals. You see? You just can't mistreat animals like that. You know, and as Muslims, we're not allowed to do that. We are not allowed to do that. So if an egg has this history of abuse and merciless killing behind it, can we consider that halal? Can we consider those eggs halal? I don't think so. You know, we say that all animals are Muslims because they do what God created them to do. Now, factory farm chickens are hatched in hatcheries where the mother hens do not get to nurture and protect their offspring as God intended. So they are housed in factories where they cannot scratch in the dirt, they can't dust themselves or socialize in a stress-free environment, and they are fed foods laced with arsenic to keep down mites, you know, mites, and they are fed unhealthy amounts of grain instead of the grass and insects and other foods they would naturally eat. Anybody who's been to a farm, and I know because I was on a farm for a year and a half, and I've seen, and we were raising chickens, you know, aside from milking cows and all that, you know, and produce and all. But the chickens, you know, because you had the barn with the chickens and stuff, they would run around. They were free to run around, and they were able to, you know, run around in the dirt, you understand? And they were able to, you know, eat the insects and all this here. So they were treated in a humane way. And they would lay those eggs, and, you know, we would get the eggs in the morning and put them in cartons and everything. They were fresh eggs. But these were naturally raised chickens, and they were fed natural feed. You know, we would put natural feed in there, too, but they were able to, you know, like I said, you know, get insects and eat insects and scratch the dirt and all that. So if a chicken or other animal is not allowed to live in the natural way that God intended, can we say that it is being denied its religious freedom? Now, you think about it. I'm not saying that you have to give up eggs. No, I mean, you know, I eat eggs, but I eat organic or free-range eggs, you know? And you know, it would be difficult to live for some people without eggs, you know what I mean? So you know, but you can cut back on eggs if you know, if you like. You don't have to eat eggs all the time. But if you're going to eat eggs, eat organic or free range from free range hens, okay? And just, you know, also maybe you could quit eating eggs for breakfast just to cut down on the number of male chicks killed. For those of you who are going to just keep eating those conventional eggs, you see? So what we really need to do is make plans for Muslim communities with our own farms where we can raise our own animals in a truly halal way. You know, we got to get our own farms. And there are some brothers and sisters who are getting land, raising cattle and chickens and all that, and raising it in a natural way, halal way, without antibiotics and chemicals and all this stuff that they're feeding these poor animals, you know, and arsenic and all that. It's just crazy. Why would you want to eat something like that? You see? But if you don't know, you just don't know. But I'm just trying to share this with you. You see? And other animals raised on factory farms are not allowed to live in the natural way that God created. For example, the diets of factory farmed animals may contain some species of meat, which is what caused mad cow disease. Okay? Diseased animals, they'll use animals that are so cancerous that they can't sell it on the market. Diseased animals. Feathers, hair, skin, hooves, blood, manure, plastic pellets to provide roughage, drugs and chemicals, including hormones, and unhealthy amounts of grain. Okay? They feed these animals this. Cattle. Yes. I'm telling you what they do. You can check this out for yourself. Okay? And you know, it's... You got some farmers out there winning awards for having the biggest chickens the fastest through the use of hormones. You know, he can have a chicken ready to eat in 6 weeks. Chickens are fattened so much so fast that they cannot walk and have to wallow on their bellies in their own waste. Yeah. You see? Now, under current law, pigs, chickens and turkeys that have been fed rendered cattle can be rendered and fed back to cattle, a loophole that may infect healthy cattle with mad cow disease. Now, rendered feed is that what I just mentioned a few minutes ago, which is animals that carcasses that or animals who are too cancerous to put on the market to sell. When they die, they use that, and they use roadkill, animals that have been killed on the road. They use that, diseased animals, feathers, hair, skin, hooves, blood, manure, plastic pellets, these things I mentioned. And they make rendered feed, and they feed it to the cattle. And you know, like I know, if you know anything about animals, cows are vegetarians. They don't eat meat, but they render this stuff, and it doesn't look like meat, and they feed this to these cows, you see? So they get away with this stuff. And this is one of the things that caused the mad cow outbreak, especially in England, where a lot of people suffered from brain disease because of this rendered feed that they were feeding to cows, which they outlawed over there. So under current law, pigs, chickens, and turkeys that have been fed rendered cattle can be rendered and fed back to cattle, okay? And according to one report, as much as 90%, now listen to this, especially Muslims, listen to this, according to one report, as much as 90% of products that are marked halal is not truly halal. You see? You think you buying halal, and it's not really halal. You understand? One thing, there are counterfeit halal stickers. Yes. Counterfeit halal stickers that they put on these meat products, and you think you got something halal. And then check this out. You know something's wrong when you can buy halal pork chops. Yes, they have halal pork chops. You understand? Now, you know that's nothing halal for Muslims. But how did he get that? He said, this is the kind of nonsense that's going on, brothers and sisters. You wake up. Wake up. And for another thing, the animal is not always raised in a humane and natural way and are not comforted before slaughtering. And they are not prevented from being able to see other animals slaughtered. Okay? They're watching the other animals getting slaughtered. They know what's going on, so you know, they already stressed out. They trying to get up out of there. You see? And you want to eat that. Now, this sister was saying how she was in the Philippines. Her son, Dusty, was in charge of slaughtering cattle for the Eid sacrifice. Now, he fed each cow from his own hand. He hugged and comforted each animal and then tied banana leaves over each cow's eyes so that it would not witness the slaughtering. Now, that halal food is being mass produced. This kind of care is usually not taken, so the food is not truly halal. You understand? You got to take care. You know, you got to treat the animal so nice before slaughtering it, but in raising the animal, you got to take and show some love towards these animals. You know, you just can't mistreat them. You see? Yes. So I suggest that you all eat less meat. I'm not saying be a vegetarian. Everybody's not going to be vegetarian, but eat less meat. You know, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he did not eat meat every day. He didn't eat meat every day. He mainly ate fruit and vegetable diet. And that's a sunnah. They say he ate meat maybe once a month. But I see these Muslims out here, they can't get enough meat. They got to have their meat 2-3 times a day. You understand? Oh, it's halal, brother. You don't even know if it is halal. You understand? It's permissible. Well, you want to be so much like the prophet, why are you eating all that meat? That's why you're sick. You got heart disease. you know, plaque. There's no fiber in meat. Meat's not that necessary. Just because it's allowed to be eaten doesn't mean you go overboard with it. Brothers and sisters, please, think about it. But as I see some people sometimes during Ramadan, and you see brothers and sisters, they're breaking the fast for the evening, and they get a plate, they fill it up, meat all on there and the other foods, and then you see them again getting a whole nother plate. I'm like, wow, you can't make up for, you know, what you didn't eat during the day. Don't go that far. Well, you got to constantly eat. You can't make up for what you lost. And you're supposed to eat light. You understand? So you know, don't get yourself caught up in that. And then when the Eid comes, you know, the Eid is Eid al-Fitr, you know, the day we celebrate, you know, the end of the Ramadan and all, and everybody's out there celebrating and getting together, and there's all that food out there. Y'all eating like you didn't fast or something. Eat so much, and I'm like, my God, how do you do it? You must have really been stuffing yourself during Ramadan. You understand? That's what I say. We got a lot to learn, brothers and sisters. And you know, I don't know if you know this American scholar, Sheikh Hamza Youssef. He said traditionally Muslims were semi-vegetarians. And, you know, Umar, the second Muslim caliph, said, beware of meat because it has an addiction like the addiction of wine. And, you know, we see this addiction and the popularity of fast food places. Look how people flock to these fast food places like an addiction. They got to have these burgers, you understand? Got to have the chicken. They're addicted. Some of you like just like going to hot dog stands. Got to have 2 and 3 hot dogs. And worse meat you can put in your system. Huh? Now, if all animals were raised and slaughtered in a truly halal manner, there would be less meat available. Did you know that? Now listen to what I just said. If all animals were raised and slaughtered in a truly halal manner, there would be less meat available and it would be more expensive. So we would naturally eat less meat. You see? Yes. And there's a report from Ali, I think it was, that said, do not make your stomach the graveyard of animals. Huh? I think it means not to always have meat in your digestive system. So if you're going to eat meat, brothers and sisters, you know, once or twice a week, that's enough, okay? And you can make meatless dishes that are very tasty and taste like meat if you want to have that kind of taste. There's plenty of vegetarian cookbooks where you can make some fabulous dishes, but you don't have to have this meat all the time. You see, you're just destroying yourself. You're just destroying yourself, brother and sister. That's why you're in the hospital all the time. That's why you're seeing a doctor all the time. That's why you're taking all these drugs, these man-made drugs. You don't have to have those things. If you go back to nature, go back to the natural way of eating, you don't have to suffer like that. I always say go to God's garden. Eat from what God produced. You see? But don't go overboard with these meats. Okay? Yeah. You know, if you want to help end the suffering of food animals, maybe, you know, you should research the website of the Royal Society for the Protection of Animals. The website is www.wspainternational.org. www.religionmeansalive.org. Okay? And there's petitions you can sign, you know, to help with this problem with the animals and all. But it's just a shame how some of us just gorge ourselves. You see? And you know, not only Muslims, I mean, all people. All people. But I just specifically mentioned that about Muslims because a lot of them think they're eating halal. Not only, listen, not only meat, to halal, there's other foods that you have to consider. Oh, you think it's just talking about meat. A lot of us think, oh, no, it's just meat. You know, we want to make sure we have halal, meat, this and that, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's more to it than that. Brothers and sisters, there's more to it than that. You see, there's a whole lot of stuff out here that we're not even aware of, you see. Yes, we don't think about GMOs, genetically modified organisms. How many of us think about that? Anybody know what GMOs is? A lot of us, I don't even think we even consider that. You know, these companies, they're making frankenfood, okay? And if you think about it, you know, we can see that these people who are supposed to be scientists from these companies like Monsanto, you understand, they think they're doing, well, I know they don't really think, but people think that they're helping the world by creating these GMO foods so they can feed all the hungry. But what's with GMO food? You know, just think of what's something that is unnatural. You think about Frankenstein, a movie. Well, how did they put Frankenstein together? They got different parts from different bodies, right? And they wound up with this monster. And this monster was going around killing people. You understand? Well, what do you think this Frankenfood, these GMOs, is doing? You know? And you know, if you look in the Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 119, the Quran prophesies that Satan will order them to change Allah's creation. Okay? And that's what is happening now. They are changing God's creation. This is a satanic mindset, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you. You know? Look, they created a frankenfly. You know fly, those flies that go around bugging you all the time? We call them bugs or whatever. But they created a frankenfly in which flies have been genetically engineered with a poison that kills their offspring in the larvae stage so that eventually flies will be extinct. You see? Well, what makes people think they had a right to do this? Now, they're going to make flies extinct. Flies are important. They remove waste. They clean up mess. That's why you see a fly, when you look at a fly, you always see them rubbing their, look like they're rubbing their hands or something all the time. They clean themselves off because they always inside of waste. You understand? Yes. But they were created for a reason. But here, man wants to remove flies from the earth. Okay? So they're creating a frankenfly. You understand? And what will happen to the animals that depend on flies for their food source? And what will happen to the animals that depend on those animals for food? When we disrupt the food chain, we are disrupting all of the planet Earth. Now, this information I'm sharing with you, a sister wrote this. Sister Linda Ilam Bartow. And she shared this information. I'm giving it to you because a lot of you are not getting this information. A lot of you don't get the Muslim Journal. And this is stuff I was always aware of. I mean, you know. But I after reading and knowing that there are some Muslims who are aware of this, I felt really good to know that there are some who are aware of what's going on. So, you know, GMO foods are a very real and urgent cause for concern, brothers and sisters. Although they are banned, now check it out, GMO foods are banned in more than 60 countries around the world. In the USA, they have been given unlimited freedom through laws such as the Monsanto Protection Act that the president passed. Now, how crazy is that? We are the ones who need protection from Monsanto. Now, 60 countries banned it around the world. What's that telling you? There's something wrong with this food. How come we in America are not protesting? Well, there are those that are, but it's a minority. So the federal version of the Monsanto Protection Act was thrown out due to protests and petitions, but some states have their own versions that they are passing. So, you know, we got to stay vigilant to crush bills that allow corrupt corporations to poison us. So that's what they're doing, brothers and sisters. They're poisoning us. They're using us as guinea pigs with this frankenfood. And years down the line, you're going to see the effect on your bodies from this frankenfood. Because 75% to 80% of what you are eating right now is frankenfood, GMO. You don't believe it? Read labels. If it's got soy products that's not organic, you are eating frankenfood. Genetically engineered corn, frankenfood, and most of the corn is frankenfood. Yes. Now, GMO crops have been genetically altered so that they are resistant to insects by having pesticides built into their genetic structure. You hear what I'm saying? Monsanto claims that the pesticides break down before they reach the table, but we have already discovered that this is not true. Research has shown that eating GMO foods has caused such problems. Now listen, y'all who are eating GMO foods, listen. Caused such problems as infertility, immune problems, accelerated aging, faulty insulin regulation, changes in major organs, and gastrointestinal system and allergies. This is what's going on with these GMO foods. And some of you have these problems and trying to figure out how did this happen? You know, animals feeding on GMO plants in the field have died within days. Did you hear what I just said? Animals being fed or feeding on GMO plants in the field have died within days. Wow. Butterflies have died within minutes just from coming into contact with pollen from GMO plants. Think about it. Butterflies. Farm laborers have to wear hazmat suits just to work in GMO fields. What's that telling you, brothers and sisters? And you're going to eat that? You know, fast food places, you're eating a whole lot of that GMO stuff. Most of these supermarkets are loaded with GMO stuff. GMO crops have also been engineered to be resistant to weed killers so that fields can be thoroughly sprayed with Roundup, which is produced by Monsanto. So it's thoroughly sprayed with Roundup without killing the food crops. Due to natural cross-pollination, the result has been what is being called super weeds, weeds that are themselves resistant to current weed killers. Think about that. So now stronger and more dangerous weed killers are being used, so we get a double dose of weed killers in our food. Weed killer, genetically engineered into the plant itself, and more weed killer directly on the plant. And then we may get poisoned again as drinking water becomes contaminated, and then again as we eat meat from animals fed GMO foods. Now you say that's halal? Wake up, people. Wake up. According to one report, 75% of our food is GMO because of cross-pollination. And even organic crops are being contaminated with GMO. Huh? Yeah, organic farmers and producers of wild seeds are in danger. They got to be careful. You understand? I mean, I always say eat organic. But even they're in danger because there might be a farm that's raising GMO crops and might cross-pollinate into an organic farm. So we don't even know when we are eating GMO foods because the food producers have bribed lawmakers to make sure that GMO foods do not have to be labeled to warn us of GMO. And in some states that have bills that, you know, you can vote for to have labeling of GMO foods. California, they got defeated. Not by much, but Monsanto put a lot of money out advertising that GMO foods are safe and it's good and this and that, a bunch of lying, wicked people. Some states passed the law, but they have to have several other states to go along with it for them to actually put it into effect. So already 90% of corn is GMO, and sugar beet farmers have all agreed to go 100% GMO. So even if you don't eat beets, you may be using foods that contain beet sugar. So you cannot be safe. And soon, you will not even be able to buy GMO-free beet seed. Now check this. How many of you like oranges out there? Especially you who are Muslims and Jews and Seventh-day Adventists that don't eat pork, or some of the vegetarians out there that don't eat pork. Listen to this. Oranges are being altered with a pig gene to make them unsusceptible to certain bacteria. See? Pig gene in the orange. So you're eating pig. All crops are going in the GMO direction. And right now, food producers are not required to label their products as being GMO. So we need to unite, brothers and sisters, to stop this trend. Sign all the petitions available and write letters to your Congress members. And, you know, you can find anti-GMO petitions on several websites. And here's a good one here. Write this down. Get your pen and paper. www.thepetitionsite.com. I'll spell it all out to you. www.thepetitionsite.com. PITITONSITE.com. Now, please take heed, because this is going to affect you. This is going to affect you in a serious way. Some countries that have been eating GMO foods have organ problems in their bodies. Do you understand what I'm saying? They won't tell you this. All they care about is their money. This is a wicked company. Monsanto, DuPont, all these people, I say, yeah. Please, brothers and sisters, wake up. Don't get caught up in that. You see? We got to play it safe. We got to play it safe. Eat organic as much as possible. It costs a little more, but support organic farming. The more you support it, the more demand, the less it's going to cost, and the more production is going to be. And we can defeat the GMO producers. And we're going to keep fighting against them until we eliminate them. You understand? Brothers and sisters, consider that. Especially those of you who claim you're Muslim and you eat halal. Are you really eating halal? And you brothers who are halal inspectors or sisters who are halal inspectors, like in New Jersey, Christy Whitman, when she was governor, passed a law for halal, you know, and inspectors can now go in and become state inspectors and check to see if these stores or producer halal are really giving you halal or selling halal. Who? You see? And if they're not, they're going to be fined. You understand? Be careful what you eat. I say eat plenty of vegetables, organic. Plenty of fruits, organic. Your grains, organic. Your nuts, your seeds, organic. Because you don't know which one of them might be a frankenfood, a GMO. You understand? Eat it the way God produced it, not the way man produces it or Satan. Because it's a satanic mind that would do something like that. Do you understand? And it ain't no, Satan ain't no creature walking around with a tail and a pitchfork and some damn horns. It's the human mindset, that satanic mindset. Oh, my God. Brother and sister, I just had to share that with you. That's why we have to seek information. If you don't know about GMOs, put it in the search engine. Go into the internet. Punch in GMOs. Read about it. Learn about it. You know? Get informed. Enlighten yourself as to what's going on. And share it with others so that they become aware and not become a guinea pig for Monsanto and DuPont and all the other ones that are creating this mess of frankenfood. You understand, brothers and sisters, this is very important. This is about saving lives. Yes, about saving lives, not destroying lives. We don't want to destroy lives, but they don't care about your bodies. They just care about their dollars. Your life means nothing to them. As long as they get their dollars, they don't even care about their own family. What about their grandchildren? They don't even think about them. All they think about is their dollars. Their grandchildren are going to be affected. Shows you the mindset, brothers and sisters. Okay. Enough already. Let's go to our topic. Gallbladder problems. I know some of you out there have gallbladder problems. And I know some of you know about Some people who have their gallbladders removed. You understand? Because the gallstones, pain, and all this here. Well, let's look at gallbladder problems. What causes it? What is the gallbladder? The gallbladder is a digestive organ located in the upper right portion of the abdomen. It sits directly underneath the liver. You know what? Your liver is the largest organ in your body. So it is responsible for storing and concentrating what they call bile that is produced by the liver. Bile is a greenish-yellow color and is composed of bile acids, water, electrolytes, bilirubin, cholesterol, and phospholipids. Phospholipids. As food enters the small intestine, hormonal and nervous system activity causes gallbladder to contract and sends bile through the common bile duct into the beginning portion of the small intestine, known as the duodenum. Duodenum. So bile has several different functions, brothers and sisters, which include the digestion and the absorption of fats and the absorption of fat-soluble nutrients. The retention of water in the colon to promote bowel movements, the excretion of bilirubin, that's degraded red blood cells, the elimination of drugs and other compounds in the body, and the secretion of various proteins involved in gastrointestinal function. So as you can see, dysfunction in bile production and secretion can result in many different health problems. Now, the most common problem associated with the gallbladder is gallstones. I ask, how many of you out there have gallstones? Huh? It is estimated that 20% of people over the age of 65 have gallstones. That's 20%. Every year, more than 500,000 people have surgery to remove their gallbladders. Did you hear what I just said? Every year, more than 500,000 people have surgery to remove their gallbladders. The symptoms of gallstones can greatly vary from person to person. Most people with gallstones often have no symptoms throughout their lives, as the stones pass without problem. Symptoms may include right-sided abdominal pain or pain anywhere in the abdomen, and radiating pain that goes to the right shoulder blade. Huh? Yeah, it radiates right up to the shoulder blade, the right shoulder blade. So abdominal bloating, gas, belching, and recurrent pain are common too. Most often, brothers and sisters, gallstones have been found with a routine exam. And if they are causing no symptoms, they are left alone. Gallstones that cause pain and other symptoms are treated conventionally with surgery, often using what they call laparoscopy. Okay? Bile acids taken orally for stones that are non-calcified, or more commonly, lithotripsy, the use of shock waves to fragment the stones so that they will pass. And that's the way they treat them conventionally. Gallstones are formed as a result of the bile becoming saturated with cholesterol. the raw. You hear that? And this can be due to an increase in cholesterol secretion or decreased bile and lecithin secretion. This then causes other particulate matter to attract cholesterol and sets the stage for what? Stone formation. Okay? Yes. And, you know, there's natural ways to decrease the saturation of cholesterol in the bile via the diet and nutritional supplements. Okay. Now, women, listen now, women are 2 to 4 times more likely than men to have gallstones. Women. And this in part may be due to the use of oral contraceptives and synthetic hormone replacement. Did you hear that? Race also plays a factor. Gallstones are more common in women of North American Indian ethnicity. Obesity causes an increased secretion of cholesterol into bile. Also, it should be noted that rapid weight loss during the initial phase can contribute to gallstone formation. Okay? And the frequency increases with age. And guess what's the contributing factor? A Western diet. Yeah. The standard American diet, the said diet, the one I always talk about. Okay? Digestive tract diseases such as Crohn's disease increases one's risk. A persistent obstruction of the bile duct can also result in fever, nausea, and vomiting. At this point, the condition is termed acute cholecystitis. That's inflammation. This is an active inflammation of the gallbladder wall as response to the gallstone obstruction. In rare cases, infection and pus may fill the gallbladder or cause perforation of the gallbladder wall. That's like little holes. So these situations are dangerous, brothers and sisters, and require immediate surgery. Now, while most cases of acute cholecystitis are surgically treated, people who improve greatly within 1 to 2 days may not require surgery if the gallstones are small enough to pass through into the intestinal tract. Ultrasound and x-rays are used to diagnose gallstones and acute cholecystitis. Okay, so the natural approaches are highly successful in preventing further gallstone formation and gallbladder inflammation attacks, as long as the present stones are not too large. You know, some can be pretty large now, and it's hard to melt them or break them down. So people with a symptomatic or silent gallstones should not require surgery, okay, if the proper diet and supplemental measures are followed. You understand? So again, what are the symptoms of gallstones and acute cholecystitis? As I said, right-sided abdomen pain or pain anywhere in the abdomen and radiating pain that goes to the right shoulder blade, fever, nausea, and vomiting. The root causes, drugs, such as oral contraceptives and synthetic hormone replacement and some cholesterol-lowering drugs that many of you out there use, instead of trying to go natural. Race, of course, you know, North American, Indian ethnicity, most of them affected more than anybody. Obesity, rapid weight loss, constipation, you know, I always talk about that. Okay, the Western diet that's high in saturated fat, low in fiber. Okay, alcohol. Yes, even alcohol creates this problem, brothers and sisters. Food allergies, sensitivities, root cause for gallbladder attack. Okay, increased risk from digestive tract diseases such as Crohn's disease, also a factor. Now, what kind of foods are recommended for treatment? Okay? Now, I always mention how important it is to eat fiber-rich foods. Foods high in fiber are very important, brothers and sisters. Okay? Yes, in reducing the likelihood of gallstone. A variety of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and oat bran is recommended. So you should include 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. Eat beets, artichoke, dandelion greens, because these improve your bile flow. Olive oil has historically been used by nutritionists and naturopathic doctors to improve bile flow. So use it on salads regularly. And make sure, listen, when you buy olive oil, brothers and sisters, make sure it's organic, extra virgin olive oil. It has to be from Italy or from Sicily. Otherwise, it's going to be mixed with other types of oils. It won't be 100% olive oil, especially those that come from other countries, Chile, Turkey, Spain, wherever. A lot of that is mixed with chestnut oil and other oils. They're not getting the pure thing. Don't buy those little cheap brands, cheap stuff. Get a good brand, but make sure it's organic. And 100% cold-pressed extra virgin olive oil. One of the best things you can put in your body. I told you that's one of the top 3 oils on the planet. Aside from flaxseed oil and coconut oil. Flaxseed, a highly concentrated source of essential fatty acids. It's the good fats that help reduce inflammation. So, you know, add flax seeds to your juices. You know, you have to grind them first. You can add it to your salad or whatever. Put them in your smoothies. Use the oil. You can get flaxseed oil. Use it as a salad dressing. But use it. And, you know, studies have shown that vegetarians are at a lower risk for gallstone. Okay? This doesn't mean that you have to be a strict vegetarian if you have gallstones, but you should greatly increase the amount of plant foods in your diet, brothers and sisters. Now, what foods should you avoid? It's important. Avoid the use of fried food, okay? You know that's hard on your digestive tract, brothers and sisters. So avoid the use of fried foods and foods with high percentage of saturated fat, dairy products, and red meat. Okay? These are culprits. It's important to limit your intake of simple carbohydrates and sugars. Research have found that gallstones are rare in countries like Africa. They know how to eat off the land, brothers and sisters. So the diet is low in refined sugars and is high in fiber. Okay? You know, they had a study, in one study, 13 people with gallstones ate a diet containing refined carbohydrates for 6 weeks. That's the bad carbohydrates. Then consumed a diet of only unrefined carbohydrates, which are the good ones, for an additional 6 weeks. The cholesterol saturation index of bile, indicating a tendency to form gallstones, was high in 12 of the 13 people during the period of time they ate the refined carbohydrates. Huh? Think about it. So you're better off eating the complex, unrefined carbohydrates. Okay? Now, food allergies or sensitivities can be a root cause of gallbladder attacks. Excuse me. Okay? You know, since the 1940s, James Brenneman, MD, the former chairman of the Food Allergy Committee of the American College of Allergists, reported that food allergies can initiate gallbladder attacks and gallbladder disease. One study found that 100% of a group of patients were symptom-free after following an elimination diet that included, unbelievably, but beef, rye, soy, rice, cherries, peaches, apricots, beets, and spinach for 1 week. Foods that were most likely to cause gallbladder symptoms in the study included eggs, pork, okay? Other common triggers included fowl, citrus fruit, milk, coffee, corn, beans, and nuts. These are triggers. I mean, we know beans and nuts are good, but in this case. So Dr. Brenneman believes that food allergies cause inflammation and swelling of the bile duct, which restricts bile flow from the gallbladder. Okay? One study found that men who drank coffee had a lower risk of gallstones than men who did not drink coffee. That sounds strange, right? However, coffee initiates gallbladder contractions, so people with known gallstones should avoid its use. That's strange, right? Sounds contradictory. Just stay the heck away from that coffee. Okay. What are some of the herbs, supplements we can use for gallbladder problems? One thing you can use is wild yam root. Now, he did this from a health food store. And you can take like 500 milligrams in capsule form every hour for the relief of gallbladder spasms and pain. Wild yam root has an anti-spasmodic effect on the bile duct. Also good is milk thistle. Take a milk thistle extract. Standardized to contain a daily total of 420 milligrams a day. Milk thistle increases bile flow and decreases bile cholesterol saturation. Another supplement you can use is lipase enzyme. Lipase is spelled L-I-P-A-S-E. Enzyme, E-N-Z-Y-M-E-S. And you can take 1 to 2 capsules of lipase enzymes with each meal to improve fat digestion. There's also a product called homeopathic China. Homeopathic is spelled H-O-M-E-O-P-A-T-H-I-C, and then China, that's the country China, C-H-I-N-A. You will take a 30C potency twice daily for 2 weeks and then stop using it unless symptoms return. This remedy is helpful for people with gallstones and gallbladder disease that causes bloating, nausea, flatulence, and diarrhea, as well as gallbladder pain. Dandelion root. Take a 2 milliliter of tincture, 500 milligrams of the capsule form with every meal. Dandelion root improves bile flow. Turmeric is something I've always suggest people use every day. Turmeric is T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C. Take a product standardized to contain 150 milligrams of curcumin with each meal. Now, the curcumin is inside the turmeric, a substance that's inside the turmeric. Turmeric has anti-inflammatory properties. It improves bile flow and relaxes the bile duct. Another one you can use is globe, G-L-O-B-E, artichoke, A-R-T-I-C-H-O-K-E, globe artichoke. You can take a 500 milligram of the capsule form with each meal. Globe artichoke also improves bile flow. Now, there are some other general recommendations. Bile salts are particularly helpful for someone who has had his or her gallbladder removed. So you can take 1 to 2 tablets of what they call bovine bile salts with each meal to improve digestion and the absorption of fats. Okay? I hope you're taking notes. Vitamin C is required to convert cholesterol into bile. So take 1,000 milligrams 3 times per day with meals. Best in a buffered form. Vitamin C in a buffered form. Okay. You can also take phosphatidylcholine. Now, this is a component of lecithin that helps increase the solubility of cholesterol. And you can take 1,000 milligrams twice daily. Let me spell that for you. Phosphatidylcholine. P-H-O-S-P-H-A T-I-D-Y-L-C-H-O-L-I-N-E, phosphatidylcholine. Also good, fish oil reduces inflammation. And, you know, animal studies show that deficiency of essential fatty acids predisposes you to gallstones. You need the essential 3 fatty acids in your body that you can get from fish oils, that you can get from the flaxseed oil. So take a dosage of an enteric-coated fish oil product containing at least 480 milligrams of EPA and 360 milligrams of DHA twice daily. Okay? and also get a full spectrum of digestive enzymes, which aid in the digestion of food and make food sensitivities less likely. And you can take 1 to 2 capsules with each meal. And also good is a probiotic that supplies friendly bacteria such as Lactobacillus acidophilus and bifidus. These good bacteria are involved with cholesterol and bile acid metabolism. And you want to take a product containing at least 4 billion active organisms daily. Now, I'm sure some of you are saying, well, how do you spell Lactobacillus acidophilus and bifidus? I'm going to spell it for you. I'll spell it slowly. Lactobacillus is L-A-B-T-O-B-A-C-I-L-L-U-S. Acidophilus is A-C-I-D-O-P-H-I-L-U-S. And bifidus is B-I-F-I-D-U-S. So these are the things you can use to help you with the gallbladder problems. You know, even aromatherapy is good. You can get chamomile and lavender. And these are antispasmodic oils that relax abdominal cramps. You dilute some in a carrier oil and use in a massage, or add a few drops to the warm bath. Okay? And it's also a stress reducer. You see? Think about it. These are simple things you can do. There's other things, you know, they got other homeopathic remedies. They got Bach flower remedies, you see. There's many things you can do. Exercise should be a part of a program to prevent gallstones. How many of you out there are exercising? You know, they had a study of over 60,000 women. An average of 2 to 3 hours per week of exercise reduced the risk of gallbladder surgery by approximately 20%. You see? So choose an exercise, but be consistent with it. I think this is pretty helpful for those who are suffering with gallbladder problems. Now, I hope you took notes, brothers and sisters. All right, we've got 15 minutes left. Let me pause here for a minute. I spoke with Imam Alfred Muhammad today. He said the program needs funds. If this program is to stay on, it needs funds. And so he asked me to ask you, or who can, to send donations to keep this program alive. You see? Otherwise, you may not be hearing Imam Alfred anymore. You won't be hearing me anymore. And you won't be getting important information that all of us need to hear. So he gave me this address to give to you, to all who don't mind helping, because we may not be here no more. So those who may be generous enough to send something, or those who just can send whatever you have, because everybody doesn't have to give, but those of you who do have to give, who have that extra money, let me tell you where to send it, who to write your check out to, or your money order. It would be Imam, I-M-A-M, Alfred, A-L-F-R-E-D, Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. And you would send it to 817 Jackson Avenue, J-A-C-K-S-O-N, Jackson Avenue in Linden, New Jersey. Linden is L-I-N-D-E-N, New Jersey. And the zip code is 07036. Okay, and he said, we are in a desperate mode. That means if donations are not given, this program will not be around anymore. And, you know, Imam Alfred gives out a lot of good information. The brother shares, and he's a dedicated brother. He's a dedicated brother. He tries to help in all areas. I've known the brother a long time. True soldier, you understand? A true soldier. He came to the Nation of Islam, to those ranks. Came into proper Islam and still fighting every day for us. Do you understand? So, brothers and sisters, if you can, send whatever you can. Make a sacrifice. Okay? Just make a sacrifice. I just want to pause and share that with you. We're going to close in about 5 minutes. So, brothers and sisters, take care of your body. I always say you only get one. If you mistreat it, well, you got to suffer the consequences. Take care of what God blessed you with. Sisters, if you want to keep your beauty, put the right foods in your body. Live the right lifestyle. Don't put in your body things that don't belong there. Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't use drugs. Don't drink alcohol. It takes away all your beauty. Stay away from medical drugs. Eat right. You don't have to buy all these concoctions for your skin. Some of you putting all that makeup on your skin. Because that's all you are, is made up. When if you eat right, the beauty comes out. Skin looks beautiful. You have natural beauty. You have nice hair. You understand? Brother, too. I know you want to look good, brother. You want to look good for that sister. You got to eat right, too. Brother and sister both have to exercise. Brother, you got to stay away from all that alcohol and beer. You think that's macho or something? That's nonsense. Stuff don't belong in your body. You understand? You don't have to smoke cigarettes to be cool. And all these stupid electronic cigarettes and all this nonsense this satanic mind comes out with. They come with stuff, man, and you just fall for it. You understand? And treat your wife, your fiance, treat them with respect. Treat them nice. You understand? And they'll treat you nice. Don't disrespect your woman. Stay away from alcohol so you don't go crazy and go off on them. You understand? Don't beat your woman. You are less than a man if you beat your woman. That's right. I said that. And it's true. No real man beats a woman. Do you understand? Beat your woman with respect. Would you beat your mother? No, you don't respect your mother. All women are mothers. Even if they don't have children, they're still mothers. You understand? So let's do our best to respect each other and to treat ourselves right. Put the best fuel in your systems. put the best thoughts in your mind. Don't just put any corrupt thought into your mind. Don't put negative thoughts in there. Keep good thoughts, healthy thoughts. Think right. Eat right. Live right. Have a good lifestyle. You know, be spiritual. Read scripture. Read history, your history. Read and learn all you can. Be informed. You understand? Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Brothers and sisters, educate your children. Inform them, teach them, prepare them for the future. Don't neglect your children like some of you do. Don't throw them to the side and just forget about them. Treat them with respect, and they'll treat you good when you get older. Do you understand? Keep these things in mind, brothers and sisters. I just want to share those words of wisdom with you. I love you all. I hope you all got something out of today's talk. I hope you took notes. Share it with your brothers, your sisters, your friends, family members, co-workers. Share this information with them, brothers and sisters. You see? So I thank you for listening. I don't know if I'll be on next week. I spoke with Imam Alfred. I can't say I'll be on, but he might just bring up one of the older programs, which is still full of information that you can use. You might have missed one of these programs, and he may just bring one up that you didn't hear. So tune in anyway. I know it's holiday next week, and a lot of people might be with their families, those of you who celebrate these holidays, you understand? You may not be tuning in, so there are some that may be tuning in. So Imam Alfred will at least try to put something on. Please support this program once again. I thank you all. God bless. And we'll talk to you soon again. Assalamu alaikum.